You know what time it is. It's time for Rating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grading the Nerd. This is the show where people are strange when you're a stranger. And also Zach and I talk about nerd shit. And he says how he doesn't like it most of the time. And I say how I think it's all right most of the time. Anyway, hey, Zach.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Wish it wasn't raining all day. It's forecasted to rain the entire day, according to my cellular phone.
Yeah, my cellular phone says it's going to rain until Tuesday.
Yeah, that's mine. I stopped looking after tomorrow, Monday. Yeah. We're recording on a Sunday, a little peek behind the curtain. Yeah, I was going to mow before we recorded this morning, and I woke up and it's just pouring down rain, and it's supposed to rain. And I stopped looking at Monday. I was like, oh, rains all day today, all day tomorrow. Wonderful. So, all my neighbors have mowed over the last few days, and so my yard looks like the Viet Cong might pop out at any moment.
Yep. Mine's not that bad, but it's but like my neighbors who have a habit of leaving their grass like grow long enough to where the city has to come and tell them that they need to cut their grass.
Oh, nice.
They recently cut their grass. And now mine just looks like crap by comparison. So I just stood out in the yard, stared at it, and was like, how dare you?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is one thing I will say. So mine's not all. I mean, I exaggerate with how bad mine is. I mowed like a week ago, you know, so it's by the time I mow this time, it's going to be like a week and a half and it's going to look bad, but it's not crazy. But that is the one thing is I'm usually pretty OK, because I got a neighbor a couple doors down that doesn't take care of their lawn worth a shit. So usually I'm like, hey, at least mine doesn't look like theirs. But I think that guy mowed a couple days ago, too, which sucks. So now I'm like, shit. So other than that, what's going on, man? Other than weather related and horticultural related goings on?
Not a lot. I mean, there's some sad stories, but I'm okay. I mean, my life as of late has been stressful, and we'll probably talk about that later on.
Sure.
But to the point where like, I'm just kind of done doing shit.
Okay. Yeah.
It's I'm heavily burned out right now. And, gotcha. And so like I think I mentioned last time that my dog passed away, one of them. And then the other one was having a severely bad time trying to cope with that. And so he started getting physically ill.
Oh, my God.
Because of his nerves. And I had to take him to an animal hospital. And you know all about that experience. But it was not a great experience for me.
Yeah. We do chat outside of the podcast.
We do.
We talked for quite a while this week.
We exist outside of this recording.
I know.
Yeah, it's been rough. But I mean, other than that, like I'm trying to pull myself together, and I've been doing a lot of writing lately.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Nice. Like haikus?
I did write a little bit of poetry, actually.
Hi, I figured.
It wasn't a haiku.
No, I mean, I really didn't figure you wrote a haiku, but.
Yeah, I'm not great at the syllables and stuff. So I do like structured poetry, though.
Gotcha.
So okay. I do a lot of rhymes, different types of rhyme schemes, pontoons and villanelles and stuff like that.
Okay. I'm sure my daughter would know what those mean.
Probably.
I do not.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm fair. Like, I feel like I'm versed in poetry as much as your average person, but I will admit I do not know what either of those are.
Yeah. I didn't know about either of them until I took a creative writing course.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it was something I picked up from that. It's fun. It's like, I just like it because it's a structured, it's got a specific sort of rhyme scheme to it, which makes it interesting to me. I like the way that it flows.
Nice.
I've been doing that. There was a story I started trying to write a number of years ago about a time traveler, and I dug it back out and started trying to recreate some of the characters. Because, like, when I do writing, so, like, I do a lot of, like, scene building and setting building. I do a lot of, like, sheets where it's just, like, these are the places that they go. This is what it looks like. You know, these are the characters that are critical to those areas and that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I do a lot of, like, character, like, sheets, like, character setup. So it's like, it's this guy. He's this old. This is what he looks like. This is his background. Okay. This is what he does. Yada, yada, yada. He feels this way. Some people don't know that. Blah, blah, blah. That kind of thing. Because then it helps so
you almost,
me.
You almost start out with, like, almost like a show Bible or a series Bible for, like, a television show. But for your story.
Right. Yeah. Because I need. I want it to be more in depth and have more feel like there's more to the characters than just their one dimensional scenes, you know?
Right. Sure, sure, sure.
So yeah. I do a lot of, like, referencing to that type of thing and building it out. But I tried reworking some of that writing, and I didn't feel like it was going very well. So, like I said, I started dipping into some poetry again. And
cool.
I wrote a little bit of fanfic, and then I wrote a lot of smut.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I did not think that was something I would be into, but I started down that path, and I think it turned out pretty good, actually.
Nice. Hey, as long as you finish, you've done it right, man.
There you go. There you go.
You're like the pin just trails off because that's when I came.
Yeah. yeah. No, I haven't actually even told anybody about that yet.
Really? Okay.
I just told the whole internet.
Yeah, you did, man. Yeah, you did. You know what? You should make that available as, like, a digital download on Amazon. Smut sells really well, I've heard.
Yeah, I've thought about that. I feel like you need some original characters. I don't like some of the stuff I've written as fanfic, so I don't want to, like, hash something like that out. That would be a bad deal, I think. But
oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but I did start trying to write some original character stuff for that.
Nice. Yeah, man. I mean, if nothing else, I don't know if we've ever talked about, I've talked about him with a lot of people. I've never actually read his stuff. Cause I'm not that, I mean, it's, but I want to get it just to read it. But, Chuck Tingle, do you know Chuck Tingle?
The name sounds familiar.
Chuck Tingle is an author who writes absurdist smut, if you will, on the interwebs. And I love just reading the titles of his books.
Yeah. Is this the guy that wrote, like, the Bigfoot stuff?
Yeah, dude. So okay. He has like one of his books is called Space Raptor Butt Invasion. Yeah. Pounded by President Bigfoot.
That's funny.
Yeah. Scary stories to tingle your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What is this one? Helicopter Man Pounds Dinosaur Billionaire Ass. And dude, this guy, I mean, he's sort of a genius. Like, I want to start reading his shit, but you know, like, I mean, he has some phenomenal titles, at least. Absolutely. Oh, what is this one? This looks like a D&D one. Dungeons, Dragons, and Buckaroos, a select your own timeline adventure. What? By Chuck Tingle. What? Yeah. Like, he has some stuff that's just like, oh, here we go. Breaking the Fourth Butt. 8 Hot to Trot Meta Tanglers.
You know? That's funny.
He does have a Dr. Seuss looking book. It's called Oh, the Places You'll Blow. Here's an example of his meta shit that I love. Okay. Pounded in the butt by the physical manifestation of Chuck Tingle's science fiction and comic book convention appearance. Yeah. So it's stuff like that. Like metaphysical pounded in the butt by my own butt. Yeah, dude, his stuff is amazing. Like, let's see. Chuck Tingle is giving away his COVID themed butt pounding books for free. What? You're in a book called Not Pounded by Anything While I Practice Responsible Social Distancing.
That's amazing.
He also wrote, my handsome sentient face mask protects me despite the ridiculous conspiracy theories that he won't also, he pounds my butt. Sorry, I read that with a weird iteration. It protects me despite the ridiculous conspiracy theories that he won't. Also, he pounds my butt. let me see. Bisexual vampire unicorns teach me the importance of the vampire cough. I just want to shake his hand. Like, I just want to meet him and shake his hand and be like,
"That's funny.
You, sir, are doing the Lord's work."
Yeah. And does he strictly publish on Amazon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's all self-published.
As far as I know. Let me see.
I thought if I ever published anything, it probably would not be Smut, but I thought about publishing through Amazon, just self-publishing myself.
Let me see. Here's paperback.
It's always something I wanted to do. Is like, I don't think I'm a great writer or anything, but I do like scene building and storytelling and stuff like that. And there are like, I've never been into fanfic before, but like I was reading some the other day and I was like, I kind of feel like I could write better than this. And people are going like bonkers for this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, dude, I almost forgot. He has a series with trans wizard Harriet Porber.
That's funny.
Yeah. So one of them is trans wizard Harriet Porber and the bad boy Parasaurolophus. I'm sure that's not how you actually pronounce that dinosaur name, but yeah, it looks like all his shit is on Amazon though.
That's funny.
But yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you could be the next Chuck Tingle, my friend.
I could. I don't know if it would be that funny. I'm not that funny of a person.
I love that he has like choose your own adventures though.
Yeah, that's cool.
I kind of want to. Yes, he has. I went to his website. He has one book in his horror section, and it's called Straight.
That's funny.
Oh, that is fucking hilarious, man. Yeah, what a genius guy, you know? Anyway, all right, enough about Chuck Tingle and his brilliance. So before we get into what we are coming to talk about, this coming week is San Diego Comic-Con.
Comic-Con!
So I was looking online and I found from the Reddit user Marvel Studios Spoilers, some potential spoilers for what we might be getting from Marvel Studios at San Diego Comic-Con and D23, which D23 is in like 3 months or something. So 2 or 3 months. So all of this is like, take this with a giant block of salt, but I figured we'd drop it on here and see how close it is to reality, you know?
Okay.
So according to them in their rumor mill, and it says another special edition of Tales from the Mod Queue. So anyway, and they say take it with a grain of salt, but they suppose that at San Diego Comic Con, there's going to be talk of Deadpool with Ryan Reynolds in attendance to announce the next Deadpool movie, which is not titled Deadpool 3. Oh. And director Sean Levy will send a video. They believe that there's going to be Black Panther footage, which I believe is the first trailer, which I believe is also true because that movie comes out in November. So it would make sense because we haven't seen anything of that yet, you know?
Right.
And then supposedly most of that cast is going to be in attendance. Now, Secret Invasion, it says no one will be in attendance, but they will reveal the main cast and share some footage, right? But here's where we start to get into more speculation. They say that there's going to be a presence for Blade there.
Oh.
With Mahershala Ali. They say Kit Harington is going to be there, which if you've seen Eternals, you know that at the end of the movie, Kit Harington's Black Knight gets a visit from Blade in voice only, you know? But the big piece of news that they speculate is that Anthony Starr, who, if you are familiar with the show The Boys, which I know you've watched a little bit, is the gentleman who plays Homelander.
Okay.
So I've seen multiple rumors that he is talking with Marvel Studios about a potential villainous role in an upcoming movie. I've seen that rumor lots of places. These guys reckon that the big piece of news for Blade is that he's going to be playing Dracula in the Blade movie.
That guy is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, which is interesting. I mean, if you've seen that guy, he has very pronounced canine teeth already.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's almost scary. Like when he smiles, I'm like, whoa, like a little Chuck Tingle of my own there. So I think he would do good in that role. I mean, but yeah, so they talk about that. Let's see. They also say that the Marvels that Brie Larson and Tatiana Paris and Iman Vellani will be there and show some footage. They say that, I'm going to butcher her name. It's Zawe. How would you say that first name?
Zawe.
Zawe?
Maybe.
Anyway, Ashton is her last name, will not be present. She's playing the big bad in that movie, but she will not be present due to her pregnancy. But they speculate that Anson Mount will reprise his role as Black Bolt in that movie.
Interesting.
And that Jodie Turner Smith will play Medusa in the post credits to set up a Inhumans follow up. We're going to get into Ms. Marvel here in a little bit, but I don't know that I buy that. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to see who Jodie Turner Smith is. I don't really. She's a British actress and model. What has she been in? The Last Ship. That would be a big departure, too, because she is a black lady. And Medusa has kind of famously long red hair, you know? So that would be quite a departure in and of itself. Oh, she's married to Joshua Jackson. I didn't know that.
Oh, I was trying to figure out why I couldn't place his face. He looks so different with a beard.
He does. Oh, what do you think? Hotter?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're a beard guy.
I am a beard guy. I can't help it. I love a well-groomed man.
The Last Ship is probably the thing that you would know her best from, because a lot of her. Oh, she was in True Blood for a while as Siren Number 2. So, yeah. Anyway, interesting. Let's see. What else do they got? So this is the one that intrigues me the most and kind of I hope is true. They have speculation that there is going to be information on World War Hawk.
Really?
Yeah. And they said it was originally going to be a movie, but it's now being turned into a 4-part series for Disney Plus that may have a small theatrical release as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would be incredibly interested. I mean, like we've talked before about that on the show, how I really liked that storyline and everything. So I don't know how they would get there from the current state of the MCU. And again, these are all rumors and speculations. If you're jumping around in here, rumors and speculations. So I don't know. I'd be intrigued. Let's see. They say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. They'll show some footage. Most of the cast will be in attendance. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. See some new footage with actors Rudd, Lily, and Newton. Jonathan Majors will send in video as Kang. They speculate that Wonder Man, we just recently found out they're making a Wonder Man show on Disney Plus, right?
Oh yeah. It's supposed to be comedic, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Because he is an actor. So that's what they say that we don't know yet, but they speculate that, one Mr. Henry Golding, and I don't know him either. He is a Malaysian British actor, it says. He was in Crazy Rich Asians. I mean, not surprising. I'm the whitest guy on the planet, and for half a second, I thought I was in Crazy Rich Asians. Everybody's in that movie. Let's see. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, he played Snake Eyes in G.I. Joe Origins Snake Eyes.
He was the snake with eyes.
He was the guy with the snake eyes. So anyway, they speculate that he's going to be Simon Williams. And then they say an interesting detail is that Evan Peters is going to be returning as Ralph Boner, but may have a new name, will likely be a side character in the show, because which sort of makes sense because he's an aspiring actor and Simon Williams, Wonder Man, is an actor. So that would be interesting. And then they speculate, do you remember at Comic-Con, last Comic-Con, I don't think it was last year because that one was remote. Was it 2 years ago that we had the last in-person one? Maybe even 3 years ago. But if you remember at the end of that one, they had all the Marvel, at the end of the Marvel event, they had all the Marvel people from all the properties come out. And then that is when kind of as they go, oh, one more thing. And that's when Mahershala Ali came out and they put on the Blade hat, right? And they were like, he's going to be Blade, yo. And then dropped the mic and they all left. They speculate that there is going to be another big reveal at the end of this Comic-Con. And this is going to be a biggie if they do this. They speculate that Feige will announce a mutant-centered film with Giancarlo Esposito as Charles Xavier and Glenn Powell as Scott Summers, Cyclops. What do you think about that, man?
I would not be surprised. There was some hints that they are finally going to take that route at the end of Ms. Marvel.
Yes, yes.
So,
what do you think about Giancarlo Esposito as Charles Xavier?
I don't know. I don't know if I know him from or anything.
He is. Did you watch Breaking Bad at all?
I did not.
Oh, great character in that. Also, you watched a little bit of The Boys. I don't know how much you watched, but he is the head of Vought International in that show.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recognize this gentleman.
Okay. He, so far in both of those shows, he has played a villainous character. Oh, he was also in The Mandalorian. How dare I forget? He's Moff Gideon.
Okay.
In The Mandalorian. So it would be interesting to see him playing a good guy, but dude, I think he would fucking slay it.
Yeah. You think they'll make him bald?
I think they would. I think they'd have him shave his head.
Yeah.
I think he would. Just his voice and his demeanor screams Professor X.
Does it?
Yeah, dude, I think he would be fantastic at that. What, Glenn Powell as Scott Summers. I don't really know Glenn Powell either. I had to Google him. I think he would just by the look of him, I think he would be great. I don't really know him from much. He apparently was in The Dark Knight Rises, I believe. Uh-huh. Best known for Scream Queens, which I've never watched.
Okay. He's
he was like a minor role in The Dark Knight Rises.
I think that he would be good as Scott Summers only because he's going to have to wear that visor that is going to cover up those little too close together Mr. Potato Head eyes.
It was so funny that you say that because legitimately when I go, who is Glenn Powell? And I looked him up. The first thing I did, I pulled up a picture of him and then I put my finger in front of his eyes and I was like, yeah, that looks kind of like Scott Summers.
They're so close together and so
his tiny. Eyes are close together. Yeah,
that's
his
okay. Eyes are close mine together. Are too. I got and it's worse for me because I have that clinically diagnosed big head. So it's full. I put a side by side of me on Instagram one day and it was just me and Mr. Potato Head. And I was like, it's like we're brothers.
You were like, and I also carry most of my possessions in my ass.
That's true. That's true. It's like a duffel bag.
Champion Keister.
That's right.
Oh, man. So anyway, that if even 2/3 of that shit is true, that's some big news for Marvel.
Yeah, I think so.
Comic.
I think so.
You know, I've seen no rumors for what might be coming for DC, so we will skip that for now. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see if any of those actually come true. I would be real interested if some of them do. It also says that, of course, a Spider-Man 4 is happening. We just won't hear anything about it at San Diego Comic-Con or D23 because it's a Sony property.
Huh.
So we have spent a lot of time talking about what may come. So why don't we spend some time talking about what did come over the last 2 weeks in the Ms. Marvel show? But let's first talk about, because we did miss last week, let's talk about episode 5.
Yes.
How did you like episode 5?
Let's talk about that, because I don't fucking remember. We talked about how I was having a rough time of it. I just did not have time to record in the last week. Too much shit going sure. on. And so I did watch it, but I don't remember a lot of what, you know, what happened.
Oh, I remember it was quite possibly the worst Disney Plus episode I've ever seen. Oh. And I've watched all of Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, snap. Lay it on me.
Episode 5 was atrocious.
Okay. Okay.
Episode 5 is Karachi Part 2.
Okay. Yeah.
And it is the car chase, the callback to her backing the truck up when she's trying to go forward. It is horrible writing with a bunch of characters that I don't give two shits about. We get the end of the bad guy in the series.
Yeah.
The bad guys. Yeah. And I couldn't have been less involved. Like, I was just watching. I was like, what? And whiplash tone and character shifts. Uh-huh. You know, like, just, yeah. So do you remember now
where it was like 2/3 of it was like a flashback to the past?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw everything that happened I know this is going to sound like, oh, I don't fucking care about India and Pakistan and the, you know, the migration out of and British occupancy. No, I think that's important shit to learn. In fact, I learned some stuff about it. The middle of my superhero television show is not where I want to learn about that. And while I know that it's like, hey, I have a platform, I'm going to use it. Like, it makes me dislike your show because of it. Like, I'm like, this is so fucking out of, like, tone deaf. It's just out of character for this whole show. Mm-hmm. This is not what I want. And again, I'm not the target audience. I get it. But I can't imagine that there's a bunch of young girls watching this show, or, you know, young boys or girls, I guess, that are seeing like a kid superhero and like, oh, we're really focusing on one. And you know, now's the time for me to learn about all this. Like, let me sit through the history class. It ended and my daughter turned to me and she was like, that was bad. Yeah. I was like, it really was.
I didn't care for it. Now that I think about it, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't like about that. Was that also the episode where, at the end of it, it goes right back into the fight scene just before Kamala went back in time and then like the portal's there somehow for some reason to like, was that the beginning of the last episode?
No, you're right. Yes, it went back. You're right. Even in my head, I was like, no, I think that was a different fight. But no, you're right. It was the same fight.
Yeah.
She comes back and they did the tropey thing of like, you're your own grandpa, but not really. Yeah. You know, like, it was me that led my grandma away.
Yeah, it's a bootstrap paradox. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. It not only does it not make sense in time travel in general, it also directly breaks the time travel rules. And I use that pretty loosely, mm-hmm. that the MCU has set up for how time travel works in their universe.
Right.
You know, but yes, it goes back to the scene and that happens to be where the portal's opening up and the mom who just wanted to go home. Kamala gives her I feel like Kamala, they've changed her power. She does light things and she's a master manipulator because she just goes, but your son, don't do this. And she's like, you're right. I shouldn't do this. I'm going to save the world. I'm like, what? This lady's been crazy the whole series so far.
A lot of things are. Let's talk about it. Let's break down that scene because a lot of it does not make any sense. So you're right. Kamala calls out to her as she's approaching the portal and says, mm-hmm. don't forget your son. But she does it with like the most like there's just like no emotion in it. Her arms are just down at her sides. She doesn't look upset. Like there's no, and that's the thing is like when you're upset, like in television, the overacting with all of the arm movement and everything else that comes from like, you know, old Broadway productions where like, in the back could see that person was angry kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they still do that and it serves its purpose in film. But like when you don't do it, it almost seems weirder.
Right.
You know, yeah. And she's in the background and she's supposed to be upset, but you can't really tell. It just seemed like she was like, no, don't. What about that guy?
What about Kamran?
Yeah, Kamran. And then like, okay, so she says she can close it. She doesn't say how or why. Then she died.
Right, which is not explained.
Right, the same way that the girl died before her. But somehow she was able to close the portal and still deliver special abilities to her son halfway around the world.
Yes.
But that doesn't make any fucking sense.
And she turns into a crystallized before it melts or before it falls away. And she's a PlayStation 3 skeleton underneath.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really bad.
CGI looked awful there. It was weird because it was like, she like crumpled away into these very polygonal shapes. Very PlayStation 1. You know, Laura Croft was just around the corner. And And then, like, their bodies, none of their debris, none of the corpse, none of that is left behind at the scene. They just vanish.
Right, right, right. They melt away into Norgu or something. Yeah. Yeah. So there was that in this episode. There was, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Two thirds of it is about her great grandmother,
mm-hmm.
and Najma and their history with each other. And I just, dude, I couldn't care less. Plus her great grandfather, like, take care of your fucking kid at a crowded train station.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I get that you're upset and you're trying to get out of there. What the fuck are you doing? Like, he just lets her go. Like, people are shoved in, like, you know, like it's like, I don't even know what, like sardines, man. I'll use the tropey. This show's full of tropes at this point. People are jammed in like sardines and he just doesn't hold his daughter's hand or anything and lets her go. Yeah. And then this scared child just wanders off. Which children do, because children aren't real people. They don't understand how the world works, so they will just wander fucking off.
Right.
But, like, what a shitty dad he was. Mm-hmm. Like, you know? And then, yeah, and then we get the she's back in time, and she can't, you know, Nani, she can't make stars, but she can make circles, and then somebody breaks the circle, and it becomes a bunch of stars, and I was like, oh my God, like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
You know? But then you're right. Then it's just unexplained. She like comes back to the present, you know, she, mm-hmm. Back to the future. And she's still in the middle of this fight. And then the portal starts to open and then she's like, no. And then she's like, yeah. You're right. No. The end. And I was like, oh my God.
Her mom and her grandma track her down to where she is using her phone. Just a little trick.
Yep, using Find My Phone.
Yeah. She's like how, so we talked about this and it's in also in the next episode. I sort of called that. Yep. I thought that her mother was going to be her fangirl and support her and give her her costume.
Yep.
And that's what's going to bring them closer together. Right.
Right.
And
right.
That is what happens. But I feel like she accepted it with the same amount of like the character of her mother is very protective, you know?
Yeah.
She's the Steve Harrington of this show.
right, right. Yeah, she's the Mama Steve.
Yeah, she's the Mama Steve. And she accepted her daughter as being a crime fighter just a little bit too easy for me. She was
way
like,
too easy.
You have powers. I guess you're a crime fighter. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a costume. Yeah. You need something
legit. I love that for you.
Yeah, I love that for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was just... Yeah, I mean, I think that the end, the next episode, which we'll get into, it was a nice shift that her dad then was like, oh, like, I don't know if we should do this. It's going to be dangerous. And her mom's like, don't you trust her? It was a nice role reversal, but we need to build up to that. Again, it was this weird, like it gives you whiplash. She switches her tone so quickly, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of criticisms I've seen for this show in general, and I don't remember if we talked about it last week or not, but I tend to agree, is that like her grandmother is like, when I was a little girl, I saw stars, and everybody's like, everybody treats it as if it's our world where they're like, you're out of your fucking mind, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're living in a world where half the population got snapped away for 5 years. There are, you know, Nordic gods coming to Earth and fighting evil and everything. There are, you know, magic users. Like if somebody was like, I saw stars as a little girl, people would be like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, right. Yeah. like we live in a world where that's not weird, you right. know, in this, yeah. in this universe,
the level of skepticism that I feel people should have should be much lower than that, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so this episode was, like, nearly ruined the series for me. And
wow.
In fact, my daughter, like we came back to watch this week's episode and she goes, I'm not even excited to watch this.
Oh, wow.
Because the last episode was so bad. And I'm like, yeah, well, hopefully they're going to get, hopefully it's going to get better.
Well,
and I think it did in some ways.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. How did they make up for the shit fest that was episode 5?
Not completely, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think?
I think I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
It was. We continued with more tropes. I'm not feeling great about Marvel lately. They are really into the tropey stuff. It's a lot of shortcuts.
They are absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lot of shortcuts to get there, and I don't like that. It feels like, and like I said, I'm not a real writer. I definitely don't write for production companies and everything else, but like, it feels like lazy writing to me.
Agreed. So we get back to her family in this episode, which reminds you how strong this show can be. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, even the beginning where she's announcing to her family that she is the light up girl. That scene worked really well, I thought. And it, because again, it felt like a family when her brother's trying to like, oh, that's amazing. And she's like, you already know, don't you? You know, because like, he's not an actor in this. He's a guy, you know? And he's like, oh, that's, I mean, that was a little campy because he oversold it of not being surprised,
right.
But I was okay with that. Like I felt back into this like sitcom-y where I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. Like, you know, and then, you know, she's like, you told them? And she's like, I only told your dad. And they're like, dad always has his phone on speakerphone. Like, I was like, that felt like a family interaction, you know, like mm-hmm. I was there for that. In fact, I paused it. My daughter and I were watching. I paused it. I go, this is fantastic. This is great dialogue and writing because it feels real. It doesn't feel like the last two episodes, you know, where it was artificially dramatic or funny, or you know what I mean? Like, this feels like just real people having a real conversation.
Right.
So I like that scene. And it reminded me what was good about this show. But then we get into, I think after this is where we're getting into more of the tropey things. If I have the same thought you do.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Okay. So what do we get next? We get the DODC coming to the mosque, being very rude again, not taking their shoes off, mm-hmm. like just marching in. And then we get Agent Deaver who says a couple things in this scene, and it feels like it might be an added scene when they're leaving the mosque and she's talking to the other agent. Not the other main dude, but just a no-name agent.
Okay.
Says a couple things. One, felt like it was to paint in some more microaggressions for this character when she says, this is why some people shouldn't have powers. And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, kids, obviously. And like watching it, I was thinking, kids, she's talking about kids, until she said that, then I was like, oh shit, she was not talking about kids. Like, you know, like she was clearly like, brown people shouldn't have powers,
right?
You know, like that's what it felt. And I feel like they added that to make her more unlikable, more disconnected from like living in a real world. But then they followed it up with, you know, load, get the weapons loaded. And he's like, enhanced rounds. And she's like, no, non-lethal, which felt added in. Like, again, because you're getting ready to shoot up a school. It felt like they were okay. Fuck, just say that they're not lethal, you know, mm-hmm. because later on we see the gunfight and those are definitely lethal rounds that they're firing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, those aren't rubber bullets. Cause you hear them pinging off of things,
right?
You know, like, those aren't non-lethal or less lethal rounds. Those are full on fucking, I'm going to shoot you probably as you're running away because I'm law enforcement rounds, you know?
I caught that little dig.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do, man. That is how they roll. Hashtag not all DODC representatives. like the thin, confused line. Anyway, but yeah, it felt like that scene was added in to try to go, fuck, man, we can't say that they're using like real bullets shooting at kids in a school, you know, after what's happened recently, you know, and then,
right.
You know, like,
well, you think that maybe they would like update the Foley work for it then so that the bullets, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think so. I mean, it's in New Jersey. If it was in Texas, they would be like, fuck, yeah, shoot at them. Wait, none of them are pregnant, are they? Like, fucking shoot kids up all you want, as long as none of them have an unborn fetus inside of them. Oh, Texas. If you live in Texas, just know that I'm completely serious. You're a shit state for the most part. hashtag not all Texans. Anyway, the thin and bread line. Anyway. So anyway, her mom gives her her costume. What do you think of this, man? We kind of, us and everybody else on the planet kind of thought that's what was going to happen after we saw her mom's stitch work early on in the show.
Yeah, I definitely. So that was a little bit of foreshadowing for that. To me, it seemed very predictable. But it's also at the same time, like, it's quite a bit different than the Hulk suit that she made, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, she is quite the seamstress. Let's put it that
way. Yeah, man. Like, yeah,
she did a good job. It's on par with the rest of the superhero costume.
Absolutely.
I love that, that they still incorporated the domino mask that that Bruno gave her. We didn't get the same, you know, Bruno leaves at the end. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah. And he leaves her a little note, which we don't know what it
says. We don't know what it says. But there's also a scene where they're together. And this is where we get the thing where I was talking about with mutants, where I thought that they kind of tied it in. Because that was the first time in the MCU / television universe thing where we've got mention of mutants.
True. Yeah. I mean, other than they don't call him by name, but obviously Professor X is in Multiverse of Madness, but they don't call him by name, but we get the same little musical stinger that we got when he appeared on screen.
Did we?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Did you not catch that?
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. He says, when he says to her, he goes, it's playing, there's music playing in the background kind of over the scene, right? Like it's scored.
Right.
And he says, there's something in your genes. It's some sort of mutation. In the intercut into the score there, it gives the like, and I was like, is that going to just be a thing every time anybody says the word mutant?
Yeah, in MCU I hope so.
I hope so. I hope so too.
I'm going to laugh.
I hope so too. I hope that they're going to work that into the theme for the upcoming movies and shit.
Oh, that would be funny.
I think it's going to, But yeah, they actually give that, which lets you know, like, yeah, no, that we mean mutant.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I actually read an interview this week with the, I believe the artist from the original Ms. Marvel comics, and said that when they and G. Willow Wilson, who is the writer who created Ms. Marvel, were discussing the character early on, they wanted to make her a mutant.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember, that was back when Fox was still not part of, or 20th Century was not part of Disney. And that was also in the Ike Perlmutter days, who was the guy at Disney that oversaw all of Marvel, including like comics and television and everything. And many, many comic creators have come out and said that, like, during that time, they were told you are not allowed to create new mutant characters.
Wow.
Because if so, we essentially give another studio a property that they can work with. And so Ms. Marvel was originally supposed to, that was intended to be a mutant. And they were like, that was when they were pushing the Inhumans big and saying, like, we'll make them our own mutants because we have rights to them. So that's why we got the ill-fated television show and things like that of the Inhumans. And so they made her an Inhuman, but it never made much sense to me because Inhumans is a genetic thing passed from one family member to another.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it would not make sense that she had the Inhuman gene or whatever you want to call it, and nobody else in her family did. And so mutation makes much more sense for her.
Yeah.
From everything. So I'm kind of not mad at this, even though it's a vast shift on the character.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds from this interview I read that that's what they wanted her to be originally. And so for me, I'm like, great, perfect, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
like
for sure.
More of this, please. So, yeah, but yeah, we definitely get that. And that's kind of it with Bruno. The only other thing we get with Bruno, speaking of tropes, is we get him interrupting a kiss between her and Kamran.
Yeah.
You know, paying back the favor for the interruption at the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and that's part of, I mean, this whole thing is tropey. You want to get into the Home Alone sequence?
Yeah, back to more tropey stuff. So yeah, we have the whole scene where they're doing the little chalkboard Home Alone booby trap scene. It's
right.
kind of cute. They do overpower them just a little bit too easy, I think. The
guys with riot shields and riot gear getting overpowered with softballs.
Yeah, and what was it? Fire extinguishers.
Fire extinguishers. Yeah, I was wondering. I was kind of surprised they didn't overlay the toward the end when they all got arrested.
Uh-huh.
A little thing in the top that said, "Editor has removed the sounds of children screaming." Yeah, that was a Uvalde joke because they're a bunch of coward fucks. Yeah, I've been looking into a bunch of that shit this week, just making myself angry. The security footage and stuff of those assholes, like playing on their phones and getting hand sanitizer while kids are getting killed, you know, down the hall.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, it's weird. It's very dichotomous for me. I don't know if that's a word, in that I really liked the chalkboard aspect because I felt like that was the stuff that we've gotten a lot less of that was in episodes 1 and 2 that I loved.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like the cartoony, like overlay and animation and stuff. The actual execution though, I thought was kind of ridiculous, especially because they're so willing to just shoot the Kamran in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That if they were all dressed like him in the school, they would have just murdered them all.
Right.
They would have just killed them.
Yeah.
You know, and instead they're chasing them around and then like a softball flies at them and they're like, oh, retreat.
Yeah. They tripped on a whole bunch of marbles. I think there was a banana peel in there. it was really tropey and goofy. They also brought in Zoe, which felt kind of out of place to me.
Right. She's just there.
Yeah, she's just there. And I don't understand how she knew that it was Kamala the whole time. Like, is there a reason for her to know that? Did I miss something?
I don't think that there's ever an explicit reason given.
Uh-huh.
I've seen theories that like, well, maybe when Kamala and Bruno were seeing what her powers were, they were in the theater department. So maybe Zoe was like there somewhere and just overheard and saw them, you know, because she says like, oh, I'm in the theater all the time. That's where the lighting's best, which is not true, by the way. That's just a lie.
Yeah.
lighting for TikToks, not the best in a high school theater. 100% not true.
I should know.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a theater production in my high school and my daughter worked as a stage crew for the theater at her high school. The lighting sucks, especially at a high school. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zoe just very quickly is like there and they're like, what are you doing here? Oh, MacGuffin. And, and by the way, I also know that you're Ms. Marvel or I you know that you're the light girl. How? MacGuffin. And you know, it's just like, okay, hey, you want to risk your life with us? Yeah. And then she does one of the most irresponsible things you could do. She sends out to all of her followers, come to the school. And people are like, yeah, let's go to the school. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like,
you're going to get other people murdered. but I forgot they're using non-lethal rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we get that whole scene I could have done without, man. I didn't like it.
Now we get into like the whole escape sequence where Kamran decides that he's just going to go rogue and try to kill everyone.
Yep.
And Kamran's powers are weird. Like they're similar to hers, but they look slightly different. And
they're like a greenish color instead of purple.
His is much more chaotic, almost like he can't control it very well. And I don't know, the CGI in this scene seems very strange to me, very off. I don't know. It's just kind of quirky and weird. We get the Embiggen thing.
Yeah, we do.
We do. We talked about this before, like what if she's going to do that? And then it's basically like her inside of like a crystalline mech suit. That's just like making her look bigger. And that's basically what it was.
Yep. Which I kind of actually like how they did it though, because at first I was like, well, that's weird. It looks like her feet are still on the ground in the first shot, you mm-hmm. know, like, but she's obviously like 10 feet, 12 feet tall, something like that. But then in some of the close-up shots, you could actually see like, no. And it was funny. Her thighs and her upper arms were the same length. So it gave her this really awkward appearance. Like, right. were the same length. So her elbows and knees were still in the same place. And but then like her shins and forearms stretched really big. And so it was cool. It gave her kind of an awkward gangly appearance, which I liked. I thought that was like neat. You know, it wouldn't. It didn't look perfect. And we see her do kind of her big double-handed smash on a vehicle. We see her catch a vehicle mm-hmm. to save bystanders, you know, which it was cool. I was into that. That stuff I was kind of into. We see her punch a hole into the sewer or the subway, I guess, for Kamran to escape.
Yeah.
Which was weird. Yeah. And then he goes to the dock and she calls her other potential love interest. And he's like, I have a man at the docks. You have a man at the docks in New Jersey. It's part of the Red Daggers. That's weird, mm-hmm. you know, but okay. So Kamran gets away, whatever, you know,
is that supposed to be the red, what are red bandanas? What are they called?
The Red Daggers.
Red Daggers. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
So that was her man at the docks.
Well, yeah, because she called, if you remember, she called other dude from Red Daggers. Uh-huh. And he was like, yeah, I know a guy at the docks. If you can get him there, you know.
Okay.
All right. Whatever. Yeah,
that worked out.
But well. I was like, that's weird that you have somebody stationed in New Jersey. Anyway, whatever. Again, MacGuffin. Mm-hmm. Her brother shows up too, which is weird because her parents are basically like, go protect your sister who has superpowers.
Right. You know, like, yeah, it's goofy.
Like. He's a newlywed. He shouldn't be risking his life for anything right now. He's got sex to have.
That's right.
Yeah.
Only then, though, for the rest of it after that. Just in the beginning.
Yeah. 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 You're taking away precious days of fucking for this man.
Flip it up there in the beginning, man.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, yeah,
we're not better. We're good.
No, everything's delightful. Everything's fine. Everything's great.
So, okay. So she saves the day. Everybody loves her. She has this goofy little conversation with her father who talks about the meaning of her name, which just so happens to be, you know, the word Marvel and how she's his little Miss Marvel. And then we get her character name.
Yep.
That was just...
You didn't
dorky.
Like that?
No, it was really dorky to me. Oh, like, man. Is that even true? Is that even remotely true?
Yeah, actually, it was funny. I was looking on, I think it was Reddit, on a discussion forum about it, and somebody was like, I actually speak Urdu, so early on, I was like, I wonder if they're going to do that. Okay. I was like, oh, okay. Again, that's somebody on Reddit. I may be completely wrong there, because, you know, you can't trust those faceless folk online. But I don't know. I thought that was sweet, man. I might just be like, I have an extreme appreciation for the actor that plays her dad. He's great.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He's a good actor.
And so I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like him that I was just like, oh, of course. Yeah. And it was kind of, I don't know. It was kind of nice because like her costume, her mom made her costume and he gave her her name. Mm-hmm. And then her costume is made up from like the people who made her what she is. It's like, Bruno threw in a piece and Red Dagger guy who she knew for 12 hours threw in a piece. And, right. You know, and what was the dude's name? That got killed. Red Dagger Senior.
Yeah.
Was it?
He gave her the scarf, Wally? Right? Or was it? Wally, no, it was the blue.
The blue fabric. And,
yeah. The blue fabric.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, it's like her journey. Her costume's built from her journey. So she always remembers. And
right.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of okay. It's tropey, but I was like, I'm into it. And then she jumps away to go somewhere. And her dad, man, that actor, just give him an Emmy, dude. He was like, just his eyes lit up at seeing his child do something amazing. And he's just like, he's like magic, you know? And I was like,
oh yeah,
man, that like welled me up. I was like, oh, that's how you feel. You're so proud when your kid does something, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know. I was totally sold into that scene, man. I was sold out on that scene. So I loved it. But anyway, didn't work for you, huh?
No, I just thought it was goofy.
Okay, fair.
Right after that, we get the mutant scene, and then we get our cameo that I thought we were going to have. I wasn't terribly surprised by that. So what I don't understand is so her bracelet makes a noise, and then she apparates away into her closet like a Harry Potter character.
Right.
And then suddenly we have Captain Marvel in her place. So
yes.
Did she disappear? Did they trade places?
I think they traded places. Okay. Because if you look, Captain Marvel has a weird bangle of some sort on her one forearm also.
Okay, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's weird because it's not the same type. Like, it doesn't completely close. It's like a pressure, you know what I'm talking about? Like, when you get those bracelets that just kind of like almost snap over your wrist and like are pressure held in place. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that. Again, I saw a lot of things. I think Screen Crush, his video, Ryan Airy's video on this, he talks about what he thinks this is. And I hope this is true. I think this could be cool. You know, he says if these bangles are related to the Nega bands in the comics, in those, Captain Marvel has them and he's trapped in the negative zone. And then there's a companion set on Earth. And there's this guy, Rick Jones, that anytime he like hits them together, they trade places into the negative zone and out of. And so his thought was, if that is kind of the direction they're going with the negative zone, that could lead us to Annihilus, which is a big bad in Marvel that would be on scale with like a Thanos type threat.
Hmm.
So he's like, maybe Annihilus is coming, which would be good. Annihilus is traditionally a Fantastic Four villain, but you know, we are getting them coming soon. So maybe there's a tie in there too. I don't know, but I do think I'm like, but he resides in the negative zone. He basically has a control rod that he's kind of a mechanical, like technological bug man almost. Okay. But he has a control rod that he has basically endless legions of like these like bug type creatures. You know, there's a big arc in the comics called, I think it's just called Annihilation. But yeah, Annihilus is the baddie in that. So if that's the direction of going, that could be cool. That could be a good baddie for the Marvels potentially.
Yeah.
The fact that I think the Marvels already has a female actor playing the villain, it would have to be not the case unless it was a gender swap, because I think Annihilus is very masculine looking.
Okay.
You know, I don't know that they assign him a gender in the comics, but he is, I think that everybody just calls him a he because he's very, like, he's, you know, barrel chested, big giant arms and, you know, looks like Chris Hemsworth.
Right.
Yeah. Body wise. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to gender swap that or if it's going to be like a mounting threat like Thanos was kind of in the background, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know, but that's been kind of the theory that, like I said, Screen Crush put that out there. I've seen other people mention that might be why they changed places, is it might have something to do with the bangle is like part of a set of like Nega bands or something like that.
Okay.
But it is weird because without any explanation, you're kind of like, did she turn into her? What happened?
Yeah.
You know, like, especially because in the comics, that's what happens. When she first comes out of her Inhumans cocoon, she looks like Carol Danvers, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, you told me about that.
You know, so at first I was like, did she turn into her? But then you can kind of tell by the fact that she looks around the room and sees a bunch of pictures of herself and is like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, like, I think she realizes, like, wherever I was, I'm not there anymore. And this girl, whoever, if I traded places with somebody, they're stuck there now, you know?
Right.
Or it might just be that she was fighting something there and then she got zapped away and was like, oh no, whoever I was trying to help is in danger now. You know, I don't know. I watched the Angry Joe Show review of this and they did not like this series overall. The end of the series really ruined it completely for them. But the one guy, Alex on that show mentioned, he goes, I kind of hoped after she zapped into the room, he goes, that it would just show a scene in space and it would just be Kamala just floating dead in space.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, oh my God.
Wow. Like, yeah.
That is dark.
That is dark.
But anyway, I don't know. Yeah, so that's our ending. And then she just runs out of the room. She's like, oh, no, no, no. And then she Shia LaBeouf's it. No, 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 no. And then just runs out of the room, you know? So,
So what's your overall take of Ms. Marvel?
Oh, man, I don't know. I think that overall I had more ups than downs, right? So I would say on a scale from 1 to 10, I'd probably give it like a 6 maybe, but that's a tenuous 6 because the lows were pretty low.
I think
that when I enjoyed it, the things I liked more than I disliked the other stuff in the whole scheme. So that's why I would go with a 6. It's slightly better than average, I think.
Okay.
What about you?
I would go with a 5. I think a 5 is generous, though. The only reason I'm going with a 5 is because I think that the character concepts, the storytelling had promise, and it could have gone in a really good direction, I think. But there was some lazy writing. There was a lot of tropes. And there was some weird, quirky CGI that I just didn't care for. So that kind of brought it down for me. It's just... it's not bad enough that I think it needs to be a 4, because 4 starts to verge into the territory of I didn't like it at all.
Right.
And so there are some things that I like about it. So, yeah, it really just kind of boils down to that, you know, those little issues that I had with the show. Other than that, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of great characters in this. There's a lot of good story, too. And I think they did a good job with those elements of it. But it fails is to actually carry through a cohesive series of events to completion.
Right.
You know, they take a lot of shortcuts, and I didn't care for that.
Yep. I don't disagree one bit, man. Yeah. I almost went with a 5. I'm teetering on that edge. Yeah. I mean, I think that early on, especially like we talked about how much we enjoyed the first couple episodes. You know, and they had some low points in them as well, but overall I really liked them. And then we got to episode 4, which was kind of a downturn, and then 5 I really hated. Mm-hmm. And then 6 had some tropey stuff and wasn't enough to get me back up to like, yes, this is good. It just hit a road bump. Yeah. I don't know, man. I did like at the end, one last thing I'll throw in that I noticed is when they're doing all the like social media, everybody's like, ah, this person, she's awesome. Blah, 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 blah. The one lady who pops on screen and's like, she looks very familiar. That's actually G. Willow Wilson, who created the character.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was kind of cool that they gave her that little, like, hey, you want to be in this, you know, which was kind of neat.
Yeah
I do like, I don't know that I really caught on to this, but I don't think we talked about it, that there's this like weird subplot about a shoe thief at the mosque.
I forgot about that.
I don't know that I caught on, but people were like, we mentioned this, I think Ryan Airy was like, as we mentioned in our episode, in our review of a previous episode, the little boy that she saves, Ice Cream Pizza, is the shoe thief.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess when she saves him, the shoes he's wearing are ones that somebody else had mentioned they were missing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really subtle.
Yeah, it's very subtle. But I was like, that's kind of funny. That kid's the shoe thief.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like that they had the little scene during that I thought of him because he's in that as well, going like, you know, she's awesome, but why'd she drop me and hurt my leg, or, you know, whatever he said. Right. But in that one, they do have a little scene with Zoe and Nakia, which I thought was kind of cool, kind of cute, because in the comics, and I didn't realize this until I saw this and did a little bit more, I watched a video and somebody mentioned it, I guess, in the comics. And it also makes the line that Zoe says in the last episode a little bit more pointed as well. In the comics, she eventually reveals to Nakia that she has a crush on her.
Oh,
Zoe has a crush on Nakia. And so it makes the statement in the show a little bit more meaningful, where Nakia says, if you knew that Kamala was her, why didn't you say anything? And she says, I figure that she'll tell people when she's ready.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, like, cause she's dealing with that, you know, like, yeah. So, I didn't know that. I haven't made it that far in the comics. So I didn't know that, you know, and they end up becoming friends, I think, Naki and Zoe, cause, I don't know if they become more than friends or not, or if like Zoe's just like, I've always had a crush on you, and then she's like, oh, I'm not gay, but you know, you're chill, can we hang out, you know, like, right. I don't know, but apparently they become friends and stuff in the comics. So I was like, that's kind of cool that they have like a little shared TikTok at the end or whatever, you know, kind of hinting toward that or kind of referencing that in the comics. That little thing at the end, that was kind of fun. I thought that was kind of a fun little send off with all the people going, she's awesome. And then she disappears, which, so, you know, I think that'll lead into the Marvels comes out next year, I believe, in 2023.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. I did like something I totally missed that a couple other videos I watched mentioned is they took a lot of care in this show to make sure it stuck to the Marvel timeline of it being like 2025.
Okay. Yeah.
So like a couple times, like when they're at the school in the gym, there's like a banner hanging up for like girls volleyball champs 2024, you know, or state champs or something like that.
And, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a couple like references like that where they're like, this show really was like, no, where in the timeline, you know, cause we've had some other movies and stuff, like one of the Spider-Man movies where it was like 8 years later and everybody's like, that doesn't make sense. You know? And so anyway, I thought that was kind of funny too, but. Yeah, overall, man, I mean, I don't know that I would recommend that you could give this one a miss. I think you could skip episodes 4 or 5 and like just read a brief synopsis of it and not miss any. Like, you'd probably be happier in the long run.
Probably, yeah.
I'm excited. Marvel's doing some new stuff. I just wish that they like trying to do some, you know, in a different direction. I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm nervous about the direction they're heading. Cause mm-hmm. I think that they're kind of hitting that point where they're cranking things out fast enough that it's like, you don't want it to just fall into like, hey, here's our outline. You got to fit these beats, you know,
right.
You want it to truly be innovative and new and as it goes. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know that I got anything else to say about Ms. Marvel. I 5 or 6 is probably where I'm at. I said a 6, but I agree with you. I think it's probably closer to a 5.
Yeah, I think I'm
probably
so.
Being a little overly generous.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in fact, I'm with you. I hate to go below a 5 because that's kind of like, I don't really like it. But I mean, you know, the episodes 4 and 5 really dragged me down into that range.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. So anyway, anything else that you've, any other comments or like little things that you picked up on in the show or anything that you want to discuss?
No, nothing about the show. All I was going to say was that we're going to take a little bit of a break.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Need to regroup a little bit, and we'll probably be back with, I want to say Sandman, unless something else is coming out sooner than that.
When is Sandman hitting?
I think it's later this month. Is that right?
Oh, is that right? Okay.
I think so. I could be wrong.
I can't remember.
We'll find out. We'll let you know. I'll post something on social media, Twitter.
Yeah, sounds good.
And Insta, probably not Facebook because Facebook kind of sucks. But we have one of those.
We do. We do have one of those.
We do.
And it looks like August 5th is when that's supposed to.
Okay.
Drop.
So yeah. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Probably the second week of August.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Ford and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio.
Sounds great.
Like
thanks all.
Subscribe.
Enjoy your July.
Review on Apple Podcast or other platforms.
Catch you later.
For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.